On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, who will take gold in this summer's World Junior Championship? Be tuned. Season 3, episode 83 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Crawshaw joining you today. Chase, how are you doing on this lovely Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing relatively well overall. Nothing crazy, nothing spectacular, you know, just kind of floating along. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing great, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But when are we going to start season 4? I think that's the question.
I think
when do we usually make the transition? I can't remember.
I think we did September last year.
Okay.
So we had first episode of September.
Oh. How about that?
How about that?
So we'll probably get... Do we get to 85?
What are we at right now?
It would be the 18th.
You said you're 83 right now?
Yeah. So we wouldn't even get to 85. We get 84, and then the next one would be... Yeah. All right.
And that's fitting. That was how many games used to be in the NHL schedule at its absolute height. It was 84 in the regular season, so 84 episodes. Perfect.
There we go. So cute. But today... feels like a Friday to me because it was my last day of work at my current working situation.
Place of employment.
Yes. And I'm done there. So happy. But on the way out today, a chick at work was saying, like, she's like, oh my God, you got a podcast. Blah, blah, blah. And so I told her the podcast. She followed and she's like, how do I give it a rating? I'm like, I don't really know. Just look, I guess. And so she decided to blackmail not only me, but you too.
Because
you're a part of the Bolts broadcast.
I don't even know who this lady is.
She said if we don't call her or like, you know.
Shout her out.
Yeah, shout her out on this show, then she's going to unfollow. But if we do, then she's going to post our show on her Snapchat story.
Is that going to gain us any traction?
I've got no idea. But... I do got to say, we live in America, and...
We do live in a society.
America doesn't negotiate with terrorists. And so, I don't know what this chick thinks she's doing. So, if anyone's getting a shout-out on the Bolts broadcast, it's going to be the boys that listen, that follow for free, just for the love of the game, for the love of Chase, and for the love of Mike. So, quick shout-out to Ryan, Jose, Dylan, Frankie, Dustin, and Luke. But no one else. Uh-uh. Go ahead.
Again, I still don't know a single one of these people.
You kind of know Ryan because he made some clown takes.
Yeah, that's as much as I know about him.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, now that that's over, I just wanted to get that out of the way because we're not going to do that. That'd be so silly of us.
We don't fly that way.
Exactly. But Chase, on today's Bolts broadcast, going to be talking a little bit of NHL because we do have a little bit of news.
Not really.
And then on the other side of the commercial break, going to be talking about World Juniors. We are currently in the quarterfinals as of recording. Those will be done by the time you guys are listening to this. But let's start with the NHL's new COVID policy.
Yeah, so I kind of, you know, looked over this earlier, and I'm just going to try to summarize it kind of the best I can. It's a little bit wordy. I don't feel like you're just reading word for word. So, you know, let's start with this. Players are not required to have the COVID-19 vaccine, but are strongly encouraged to do so and keep up with their boosters that they are eligible for. And starting with that, last year it was made public that there was only one player that was actively in the NHL that was not vaccinated. Is that going to be different this year? I mean, at this point, most of the players already have been vaccinated at some point, so I don't know how much this changes. It just, you know, it just kind of remains the same as last year, I guess. And then travel was one of the most pressing issues. The NHL has instituted some new guidelines, so clubs, teams can now suspend players if they have to miss any sort of games. Unvaccinated players, I should say. They can suspend unvaccinated players who have to miss games because of COVID-related issues, whether it be border travel, whether it be, I don't know if getting sick as well part or not too, but I know for sure, like, border travel and stuff. You know, when Bertuzzi couldn't go over to Canada for however many games it was last year, he could be suspended by the team without pay for that. If a player develops symptoms and tests positive, they'll isolate for at least 5 days, only be permitted to exit isolation when their symptoms are gone and they have received permission from the NHL's chief medical officer. And then players who have symptoms after the five-day period will have to isolate and only allowed to leave after a PCR test. So if you get rid of your symptoms before the 5 days, you can leave. If you have symptoms longer than that, you got to take a test. Players test positive, they continue to be paid as long as they are unable to participate. If I think that says all players, not just vaccinated players either. And then for the postponement or cancellation of games, the NHL's outline, the league will work in tandem with the commissioner to determine whether playing games offers a potent risk, to the health of players and club personnel, and will then make a judgment on whether games in question will be moved to a later date. So really, not like it's super jarring changes. It's a lot of similar stuff, just kind of a little more covering things like a little bit better, because, you know, last year, in the previous year, everything were kind of just thrown into place with this kind of new unprecedented waters for these sports leagues. So just kind of more refined policies at the end of the day.
Do you know if Canada still, like, you're required to get vaccinated to go into Canada?
I don't think so. I know at least driving over the border here in Michigan, you don't necessarily have to.
Okay.
So I don't know about flying or anything like that.
Gotcha. Because I didn't know with the very first part of the new COVID policy, you said it's not required, but, you know, it's highly influenced. I didn't know if that still worked, you know, going across the border and things. So
I would, you know, if I really don't know for a guess. If it does apply, then, you know, this makes sense why you can suspend players without pay. If it doesn't apply, maybe they're putting this in place just in case it does apply down the road. That would be kind of my best assumption out of all of this.
Mm-hmm. Trying to look. So it looks like if you... I'm not reading this right, am I?
I don't know.
You must still use arrive Canada within 72 hours before you go, before your arrival to Canada. Unvaccinated and partially vaccinated children under the age of 12 are not required to provide a valid pre-entry test. Okay, that doesn't give me that. I don't know.
It sounds like a no based on hearing that. Like, you don't need it to be.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, that's the new COVID policy when it comes to the NHL. So, yeah. Chase, let's now talk about some remaining free agents, because believe it or not, there's still some guys out there, and the signings have definitely slowed down.
Yes, they have. I mean, it's been pretty stagnant for the last about 3 weeks or so. Maybe things will start changing here a little bit, because we've got some RFAs that are still out there, some guys that were not eligible for arbitration. We've got some big UFAs, so I imagine this isn't going to go too much longer. We saw some rumors of Nazem Kadri signing with the Islanders, but they had to make some moves in order to do that. They still have to, you know, re-sign guys like Noah Dobson and Alexander Romanov, so I don't know how they're going to make that all work, but they're obviously going to try to find a way to, and, you know, Kiefer Bell's the guy as well. But outside of them, you know, some RFAs, Jason Robertson, Alex Formanton, Sean Durzi, Kirby Dach, Phil Tadina, Barrett Hayton, Noah Gregor, Ryan McLeod. You know, those are some more prominent names of guys that got good ice time last year. Rasmus Sandin is another one. Nick Hague, Eric Branstrom, these guys are still available to RFAs. You can still send them qualifying offers. I don't see that happening at this point. So I would just assume that, you know, these teams are going to remain with their clubs and either have their rights held or be signed here in the next couple weeks. Then for the UFAs, we have Phil Kessel, Paul Sassy, Evan Rodriguez, Sonny Milano, for whatever reason, Tyler Ennis, Antoine Strahlman, PK Subban, Jonathan Dahlin. There's a lot of talented players out there. I mean, there's probably legitimately a good, like, 30 to 40 NHL caliber guys that are just sitting there in free agency. The guys that are, like, surefire NHL caliber players that just aren't being signed for whatever reason. And it's a little strange. I don't really remember this much talent being left out here unsigned this deep in a free agency really in my life. And for the NHL, it's definitely different. I would have to guess we're going to see some guys signed soon. I mean, I just don't understand what the holdup is with a guy like Sonny Milano. Like 26 years old, young, first-round pick. Analytically well, strong passer, has a good vision, does things the right way. I just don't know how a guy like him is still sitting there unsigned.
Yeah, I'd like to see him and some other players get signed as well. Obviously, Nazem Kadri still being out there. It's a guy I want to see get the bag. But I think it would be funny. You mentioned Alexander Romanov. The Islanders obviously traded the 13th overall pick in this draft to get him. If they can't find a way to bring him back, I think that would be funny. Even bring him back.
It'd be funny if someone sent him an offer that they couldn't match and they could only give up. They only gave up like a second round pick for him. So they literally just trade a first round pick for a second round pick. That's what would be funny.
Yeah, and then Montreal, trading that pick for Kirby Dach.
not just who's also not signed and is also not a good hockey player. Or he's a fine hockey player, but he's not worth that. That's for sure.
Okay, so here's my question. Would you rather have unsigned Romanov, unsigned Kirby Doc, or I don't know if Frankie Nazar signed, but either way, you have his rights for 3 years.
So it's between Kirby. So one more time.
Kirby Doc, yeah, Kirby Romanov, Doc and Romanov, and Nazar.
Or Frankie Nazar. Which one am I choosing? One of the three you're saying?
Yes.
I mean, Kirby Doc's definitely last on that list. Like, that's not even a debate. I'm probably going to, as much as I like Romanov, I might lean on the side of Frankie Nazar. I think he's got a good chance of being a kind of sleeper, like, guy who could be a legitimate top six, or arguably first line type forward. So I'd probably lean him. Romanov's definitely second. Kirby Doc doesn't even sniff the other two.
Yeah, and Frankie Nazar, you still have that rookie contract, so.
Yeah, and he's not signed yet.
Versus Alex Romanov, where, you know, you're going to have to pay him more than a rookie deal. So.
Yep.
All right, well, that's going to do it with the first half of the show. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. On the other side of the commercial break, going to be talking about World Juniors and the surprise matchup that USA has in the quarterfinals. We'll be right back. The action never ends at the DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, the DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. And as always, any sports betting needs you have, make sure to head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, Chase, World Juniors. We finished the preliminary rounds as of Monday. Coming in on Wednesday, we've already got one match decided, one in process, and two more to go today. Finland, Germany, that ended up 5-2 in Finland's favor. Sweden is currently leading Latvia 1-0. But I think the biggest surprise, at least for myself, is if you told me the U.S. was versing the Czechs in the first round, the quarterfinals, I would have said, okay, then Sweden took first in our group, and the U.S. took second. Not the case.
No. Not the case at all. The Czech, surprisingly, finishes fourth in that pool. Did not look bad in the tournament, but didn't look great either. Had some tough moments. Had a couple good games. You know, they look solid in their win against Slovakia, but it just hasn't really gone their way. And this is probably a worst-case scenario matchup for the U.S., honestly. Like, sure, if they finish fourth in the pool and play Canada, yeah, you can say that's worse. But any other team from that pool, minus Czechia, who is struggling and is now going to be hungry to really improve their play. Like, it's going to be interesting. They're obviously a talented team. They've got enough, talent on the roster to go out and beat the U.S. and it wouldn't be an upset, even though it is a 1-4. But they're going to play with a little more hunger than if they were maybe the first or second seed. They get to be like, okay, we really dropped the ball here. We got to prove everyone wrong now. So it's going to be a scary one for the U.S. I got faith in them. But the goaltending has played all right throughout the tournament, haven't really had too many challenges, but it's still not necessarily anything elite, so it could break down at any point, and it's a little spooky. You're talking about surprises, though. Honestly, my biggest surprise of this all is that Slovakia went winless and did not move on. I don't know how Latvia found a way to finish third in this group. Just incredible. They get paired with Sweden. That's a tough draw for them. But I'm really surprised at how bad Slovakia played in this.
Right. It's, just last episode, we were talking about how, I think they're in Group A, correct?
Yeah.
Group A is definitely more scary than Group B because it was us and Sweden.
Oh, you're saying the U.S. is in Group B. I thought you, you just said Slovakia and you said Group A. Okay,
yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. That's what I was clarifying.
I got you.
Okay. I was clarifying.
Okay, I got you.
We were saying Group A was the more difficult one, and while in Group B we had us and Sweden, and
I got you.
Not as difficult matchups. And then we go over to Group A, and we think, wow, they've got four teams that could really vie for a good spot. And the one that we just completely doubted is the one that comes out in third, which is crazy. But I hear, at least when that Czech game was happening, that it was the goaltending. And if we know one thing about Latvia, they got some great goaltenders. And Kristaps Gudlevskis, we've got some great Latvian goaltenders in the NHL franchise. NHL, like the video game.
Yes.
So I was going to say .com. That's definitely not what I'm going for. But, yeah, the goaltending, apparently the reason.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a solid roster in terms of what they normally bring to the U20s. They don't really get to play this level very often, usually in the second level of the U20s, because it's just really not a strong hockey market right now. But this is kind of one of their stronger teams, so it makes sense that they're having a little more success than what I would expect, but it still is a bit surprising. So, you know, kudos to them. It is super cool, but at the end of the day, right now, I was talking about it, it's hard for me to say, give me anybody but Canada's, like, you know, showing this. Canada looked like they were just very clearly the favorites, and through four games, it's not even close.
All right, they get beat by Switzerland tonight. What's happening? What's going through your mind?
I will laugh hysterically. There's just zero chance. There's no way, because Switzerland did not look good at like any point except for when they played Austria. They looked okay.
You should.
There's just no chance.
You should bet everything in your bank account on Canada tonight.
No, because that's when you know they will lose. that's when you know they will for sure lose. So yeah. No chance I'm doing that. But man, that Canadian roster looks good. It's obviously right now, if you've been watching it, it's the Mason McTavish show. Yeah, Finland, you know, they're kind of top three with Kamal Järventi and Ratu have played really good. You know, Ratu looking like he should have been a top half first round pick. Oh, who said that? Chase, that's right. Shocker.
Mike.
But anyway, and even Joakim Kemmel should have been, yeah, you know, higher pick, and he falls and comes right away and just dominates. So good for them. Good for the Finnish team. They've definitely got, you know, a chance to really compete for gold here. They play so strong at the U20s. But this Canadian roster, it's just good from top to bottom. I dropped my phone.
Nice.
It's good. Really just good everywhere, top to bottom. It's a little surprising, not going to lie, that, you know, Sebastian Kosa was obviously the first goalie taken in that 2021 draft. It might have been the right choice, might have been the wrong choice. We're going to see here in the next couple of years. But he's not really a starting goalie. It's Dylan Garand they have more faith in. Sebastian Kosa has been pretty disappointing since being drafted, to be honest. But everything else really about the team, Garand's been playing well. McTavish up front has been dominant. Connor Bedard is just an absolute superstar. On the back end, you know, Olin Zellweger, Donovan Zabrango, Jack Thompson, those guys are playing incredibly well. This team just looks really good. McTavish, right now, I haven't done it yet. I need to, but I'm probably going to put my money on him for Rookie of the Year this year. Because he looks like he's in a different stratosphere with these guys.
And just looking at the performers here on Canada, I mean, you can't help but think, what's Anaheim going to look like in a couple years?
Yeah.
With McTavish and Zellweger. And then, I mean, there's a possibility that they could still win the lottery this year.
It's far from impossible. On top of already, you know, just even outside of Canada, they have Lucas Dostal in that. They have Trevor Zegras already, obviously, there. Mm-hmm. They've just got an incredible group. Sasha Pasternak, an American kid, you know, whose ceiling I like a lot. They have all the makings of a potential dynasty down the road. This is kind of what we were talking about. Colorado and New York were going to be. New York doing a little differently. Colorado obviously has had success, but like Anaheim and Detroit, those are two teams that are really both trending that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And hey, I am super excited to actually sit down and watch some World Junior Hockey, because with work, I wouldn't get out until 3, and one of the games would be over by then. And then by the time the, you know, big game at night started, like USA Sweden, that was a 10 o'clock game. I got to be up and at work by 7 a.m. in the morning. So with this job transition, I'm actually going to be able to stay up and watch some games, going to be able to catch them. So I can't wait.
Just so you know, there's today, Friday, and Saturday, and that's it.
Yeah, I know.
So,
but that's all that matters because finals. All we've had was the prelims, and hey, USA got through it. So, I'm finally going to be able to sit down and watch some good World Junior Hockey. I'm super excited for it.
So, we need to make sure to talk about Connor Bedard because Mason McTavish had 13 points. Connor Bedard is a 17-year-old, just turned 17, literally a month ago, and he is playing on that top line with Mason McTavish and just dominating. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think this kid might be on pace to set the, I don't really want to say, all-time record because, Mario Lemieux had 280 points his rookie year his draft year. But, of the modern-day draft years, he might go set some records in Major Junior. I really wouldn't doubt it. He could be a legitimate 2-plus point per game type guy to do that in junior hockey nowadays, a 17-year-old. It's pretty phenomenal to even think that could be the case, but I don't see how he doesn't score a goal per game at least. The only person in the world right now that even rivals his wrist shot is Austin Matthews, and he might have a better shot than Austin Matthews.
Okay.
Well,
that's high praise.
That's how elite this kid's wrist shot is. It's for some, if you watch him, if go subscribe to EP Ringside. This is a free shout out to them because they do a really good job on breaking down stuff, and you can go read about Connor Bedard and his and really just all about his shot specifically because it's so unique. He somehow has the ability to shoot off balance from his non-dominant leg, and the puck comes off 85 miles an hour exactly where he wants to go, somewhere where no one else can touch it. It's something that literally maybe Austin Matthews is the only other guy in the league that can do that right now.
I feel like I can kind of do that.
Yeah.
For a while, never played hockey, played soccer, football, baseball, basketball. Dad played, nearly 20 years of hockey. Somehow I never played hockey. Yeah, so
weird.
Anytime we're in your basement shooting some pucks, I remember there was a couple of times I had to watch you shoot and be like, all right, what leg do I have to lean on? I don't know which one. So, hey, I'm probably got a pretty wicked shot off the wrong leg.
Yeah, no, it's a little different, not going to lie. Dude, he's got the potential to do some really special things in not only junior hockey but in the NHL. Right now, entering his draft year, he's looking like the best prospect that has ever been in my lifetime and could go all the way back to the Mario Lemieux type of prospect.
All right, well, let's do this then. You know what I'm going to bring up. If you don't, you will very soon here. I sent you a tweet from Jay Fresh. He talked about looking back at Shane Wright and Alexi Lafreniere. How is it not, or how are you not questioning whether Bedard has a not exact same path, but those other two look generational?
Yeah,
at some point in their careers,
they did. So Shane Wright, I think, is a bit of a different case because COVID really threw things off. Didn't really give him a fair shake, and I've talked about that quite a bit. That once he got rolling last year, he looked great. And he was the best 15-year-old I'd ever seen play with my own eyes, that's for sure. He was arguably the best player in the OHL at the time when I was working in the OHL. He really was something special. In my opinion, doesn't change too much. Maybe he's not someone that is looked at as, top five player in the league at some point. But, he's still going to be a number one center in the NHL. I guarantee that. Lafreniere, at the end of the day, he really was not in the same stratosphere as a Shane Wright, Connor Bedard, Connor McDavid, even a John Tavares type guy. He wasn't in that same transfer. He was a very talented player who was playing on the wing, someone that looked like he has the potential to maybe score 80, 90, 100 points in the NHL. But playing on the wing and being a little bit older, it was kind of known that, he's not going to be some other just worldly groundbreaking type guy. He's someone that you absolutely want to take first overall. You want him on your team. You want a chance to develop him, but he still was in a different stratosphere. So as disappointing as it is, he's still pretty young. I still have faith in him. But Lafreniere doesn't even touch the other two. I talked about it before. Before Connor Bedard played in the WHL, I was Shane Wright, right now I'm taking this guy over anybody else. But then Connor Bedard played in the WHL. I'm like, oh, okay. Nope, that's going to change. This kid just does things so differently. He's just, It's hard to explain. I don't know how he does things so differently so well. Especially and if you see, he scored 100 points as a 16-year-old. What did the rest of his team do? Well, he played on one of the worst teams in the WHL, and His next highest scoring teammate was Tanner Howard, 69 points. Nice. Who was also a young kid, only 16 years old. So it's not like, he's literally carrying the team by himself as a 16-year-old playing junior hockey. He's just got everything going for him. There's really not a flaw in his game. I have a hard time seeing how it doesn't pan out. If it doesn't pan out, though, then I might just give up on hockey.
I do want to go through Jay Fresh's full three-tweet thread real quick, and then I've got a question about it for you afterwards. So he says, if Bedard doesn't turn out to be at least borderline generational, I'm going to be so annoyed. Lafreniere and Wright have done almost irreparable damage to my ability to get infinitely hyped about a top prospect. And Dahlin. I'm sure all three will be great players, but my expectations, based on how people talked about them, were way out of whack. So with that being said, he even added Rasmus Dahlin, as you saw there.
Yeah, which I think Rasmus Dahlin's got the best chance of those three to become a unique player at his position. I'm not very concerned about Rasmus Dahlin, to be honest.
So with that being said, why is Connor Bedard not going to be affected like these guys were? Why is he going to take the Connor McDavid route rather than the Shane Wright or Alexi Lafreniere route? Why is he going to be an absolute superstar as he gets in the league?
Well, it starts with, if you want to look at his production, he's doing things that none of these other guys have done. You know, even like the McDavids and like the Shane Wrights, like he's as a 16-year-old, he set the record for goals scored by a 16-year-old in WHL. He had triple digit 100 points. Was clearly the best player in the league. He's playing on the top line at the U20 tournament. He looks like a top three player on the ice at the absolute worst. And the way he does things is just so different. So Shane Wright, you know, a guy like him, he is a very talented offensive player who just does things not super flashy, but you just look at him, he's like, okay, this guy's he does it different than everybody else. He just knows how to do it the right way. So he does it differently, but he doesn't do it like exceptionally. He just knows how to do everything. You know, and then you look at a guy like Connor McDavid, who is this otherworldly skater. No one in the world touches him. No one in the world will touch him while he's playing in the NHL. Like, it's just a one-of-one skating type player. You know, maybe Pavel Bure was the next closest thing to him, but right now I'm still taking Connor McDavid in that aspect. And Connor Bedard, what makes him so different is the only other person I think I've ever seen shoot the puck the way that he does is like an Austin Matthews. You know, there might be older players that I didn't really see as much sample sizes of that maybe did it the same way, but Ovechkin, you know, this guy shoots with this absolute power strength where Connor Bedard, he shoots, you know, off balance, the subtle toe drags. He can completely change the angle of the shot just by moving his stick an eighth of an inch. I've never seen the puck release off someone's stick so quickly. It's just, you got to have something that's super unique, and that's what it is. He has this just unbelievably unique shooting style that is unmatched. It's what makes Austin Matthews so hard to predict, so hard to stop, because he has a unique shooting style. Bedard's is at minimum as unique, if not more.
I kind of want to do a comparison here for those who have not watched Connor Bedard and kind of just don't understand, you know, what is it that's, you know, weird about his shot? What is it that's different that makes it stand out? Would you say it's similar, different sport, similar to a Pat Mahomes or a Matt Stafford, where they come in and, you know the typical quarterback, but it really blew up when Pat Mahomes came in, and we know as living in Detroit, Matt Stafford's been doing it too, but these off-arm angles that they're using, the sidearms, even throwing behind the back and somehow still completing passes, would you say it's similar to a Pat Mahomes-like where it's funky, but it works?
I've got a good example. Do you remember the Super Bowl that the Chiefs lost, where Patrick Mahomes had zero help from his offensive line? The one time where he was getting tackled, he was an eighth of an inch from being on the ground, and he still threw the ball behind his back, sidearm, 60 yards downfield.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Connor Bedard does. He does things that's like, I didn't know a human could do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he does that. If you look where he shoots from, he doesn't shoot from like super high like scoring areas all the time. Like if you watch his goal from whatever game, it was a game or two ago at the World Juniors, it was like a 2-on-2 kind of situation, and he just shot from, you know, just a simple wrist shot from the right side, so the shooting angle wasn't in his favor from the faceoff dot, and the goalie had no chance to save it just because like you just have no idea where he's going to put the puck. You don't know how it's going to come off a stick. You don't know where it's coming off of a stick at. You can't, no matter how prepared you are, you're not prepared for how fast it comes off of his stick. It was an angle that really no other player on the ice would have scored, and Connor Bedard just does it 40 times a year.
And with all that being said, USA is still going to take the tournament.
I hope so.
And Tampa has no shot at Connor Bedard. So
no, unfortunately, we do not. I just really hope we don't see him go somewhere icky.
Yeah, preferably on the other side. Throw him to the West.
I other than the Islanders, who we just don't want to see him in an Islanders jersey. Me and I are both in the same boat. I thought another worst case scenario, the Flyers.
Don't like the Flyers.
That would be gross seeing him wear a Philadelphia Flyers jersey.
Why are orange teams so gross in the NHL?
I don't want to hate on Anaheim because I don't have an issue with Anaheim. They're kind of orange.
Yeah, I guess a little bit.
But I really, I'd love to see him, you know, get an opportunity in Seattle, even though they have three, like they'd put him at three to number one, like type center type guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd still like to see it. But other than that, like, I don't know. I'd rather see him go to like a team like Detroit, as much as we don't want to see him in our division. Mm-hmm. I'd rather see him flop and then, you know, go somewhere where that, you know, he can go look good in a good looking jersey, like the Red Wings jersey, or he can, you know, as much as I don't want him to play at Arizona's rink, he'd look awesome in that Kachina jersey. I love that jersey so much. You know, I want to see him where he's just going to look good somewhere and get the opportunity to just take the reins, do whatever the hell you want to do, figure it out how to make it work.
I don't want to see him in Canada, except I'd be okay with Winnipeg.
He would look solid in a Jets jersey. Him playing on you know, down the middle with Cole Perfetti on one wing and Kyle Connor on the other wing, it's game set match.
See, I was thinking, you know, Calgary, Vancouver, two teams that
I could rock up in Vancouver if they bring back the skate blade jersey.
Yeah, like I'm thinking these are teams that have young talent but still haven't really been able to reach the promised land. And we know Calgary, they've been stuck in purgatory forever, but could Connor Bedard be that guy that takes these two teams to that next level? I'd be okay with Vancouver. I don't really want to see him in Calgary.
No. The Calgary had their chance, then they blew it.
But if it's Canada, I want it to be Winnipeg.
Yeah, I would agree. Another team that I really wouldn't mind seeing him in, you know, since it's not going to be Tampa, we'll talk about all scenarios. I think he'd look good in that Dallas green.
Yeah. Get Dallas away from me.
I mean, that's not a team I don't think it's going to be in that running. I think he'd look good in those colors. But regardless, whoever ends up with Connor Bedard, it's just going to be that, you know, one of those guys that it's really not fair. You watch Connor McDavid, you know, especially when he's playing on these Edmonton teams that struggled the last couple of years, you watch him go coast to coast, skate through everybody. And when he scores, he just looks like he's fucking pissed off. Cause he's like, you guys are this fucking terrible helping me out. I have to do all the shit by myself. Tom Bernard can do those types of things where he can just like be so dominant without the support that like he's going to start getting mad because he just has to be so good without any help. So I hope a team that he goes to provides the right infrastructure around him and doesn't do, you know, what Edmonton did and only get two superstars and nobody else.
Sidney Crosby, when he got drafted, he's been the most dominant player from 2005. I mean, obviously there was conversations with Ovechkin, but I'm pretty sure that most people regarded Sidney Crosby as the best player in the NHL up until the last couple of years where Connor McDavid's taken over.
Pretty much since Connor McDavid's second year. The first year he didn't get to play the whole year, but the second year on, it was Connor McDavid's show.
So he had over a decade as the most dominant player. Is there a chance where we see Connor McDavid be the most dominant player for less than a decade because of Connor Bedard?
It's not impossible. You know, it's hard to say that all this, especially nowadays with how, you know, like when Crosby and Ovechkin broke in, they were 100-point rookies. That doesn't happen. That hasn't happened since then. It's very rare for that to happen. So it's hard to say this kid's going to come in and score a point per game. But if someone's going to do it, it's him. Like, it's just the truth. If someone is going to do it, it's Connor Bedard. So I could see a path where he can come in after his rookie year, establish himself as, all right, he's that dude. But let's be realistic. At the end of the day, he's a kid. These are all kids we're talking about in the NHL draft. They're 17, 18, 19, 20 years old. You got to give him a little bit of time to really figure it out. He might have struggles early in the NHL because he's just a kid. Yet again, he's going to be living in a brand new part of the world. You caught him some slack, but I don't really see how it's really more than a decade of dominance for Connor McDavid. Like, I a decade's probably what's going to be max, and then Connor Bedard's going to be like, all right, it's kick rocks. It's my turn.
Speaking of kid, I don't know. Did you see my Instagram post that I sent you?
I don't ever get my Instagram messages. Like, I don't get notifications for them, so I just never see them. So, no.
So, it was from Bardown, and there's an 8-year-old, Kaysen Pusateri. And, I mean, yeah, I'll just share the clip live. How about that?
Sounds good.
So you can get a live reaction coming in.
So I just want, before anything, this kid's 8 years old. I don't care what he does. He's got 10 years before he's even on NHL radars. Hey, this kid's already got it, though. Hey, everyone listening, if you have kids and you're getting them into hockey, please, for the love of God, tell your kid to learn how to use the backhand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Sidney Crosby's best asset is beside his brain is his backhand. Do you know how hard it is for goalies to stop backhands nowadays? You know, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you had a flat blade, so it was a little more expected. You could do a little more. Now, if you have a good backhand, goalies, they're lost. It throws them off so hard, and anybody that has a dominant backhand, they're going to score 40 goals in the league like every single year. Teach your kid how to use the backhand. That kid had a gross backhand shot as an 8-year-old. That was great.
He had, you know, the celly, too. He had the flow. He had everything rocking.
Yeah. So, all right, now I'm going to look at this kid's EP.
Yeah, you're going to have to. All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. We're going to go to a quick, not commercial
break.
Hockey name of the day.
There you go.
And here we go. We have Martin Stangelberger.
Martin Stangelberger.
Stangelberger.
Martin Stangelberger. So Martin is a 34-year-old Austrian who played in the Austrian 4 League in 15, 16, 16, 17. A total of 14 games, 14 points. And he has not played since then. Oh, I lied, actually. I lied.
Big liar.
He played in 2009, 2010, way before that, in English tournament in England, and whatever for the Nottingham Mavericks B. I'm assuming it's low level. I don't know, but yeah. So that's Martin. Don't really know where in Austria he was born. I know he was born on January 19th, 1988. Don't know how big or small he is. He is retired. Martin, if you're listening, shout out to you.
Yeah. Great name. Loving it. It's well, to be fair, I was going to say it's probably the best name we've had on Hockey Name of the Day in quite some time. But to be fair, since we started doing one episode a week, I'm really starting to struggle to recall the names we've had recently.
Fair enough.
But this one definitely does stand out as a very good name.
Yes, it's just like you'd want to root for this guy.
Oh yeah,
you just would.
I still want to.
Any last name that's 4 syllables or longer, or is 10 letters or longer, like that, you already have my heart.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Or if your name has alliteration,
yes,
want to root course, so hard for you.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of that, like in Madden, I started like a franchise where I did a coach, like because there's new coach features and stuff. So I want to check out what it was, and I usually do owner. And then in the top right corner, it just says like, you know, if so, like for owner, they have like in parentheses have the O. So for the coach, it has C. So it said C, then C Crawshaw. So it's just like triple alliteration there. Like, oh, Coach Chase Crawshaw. What alliteration that is right there. That's just, that put me in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. I want to thank you so much for coming out. Chase, would you hit him with an outro?
No.
All right, bye.
Thanks for listening. Check us out. Go check us out on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast. Go follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. Go follow WP on Twitter at WP Sports Pod. Make sure to go to HockeyPodcastNetwork.com. Find all podcasts and network right there. Boom, click the logo. That's an easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever listening, rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions, comments, concerns, whatever you do. You're going to have to use code THPN when you sign for DraftKings.
Wow, you went through that fast, eh?
Yeah.
Thanks so much for stopping by. I'll talk to you next time.